We usually start with, "Hi, I'm Daryl, and I'm a meeting planner." And then Amanda chirps in with her, "Hi, I'm Amanda, and I'm also a meeting planner, and this is Miracle Workers." And then I say the part that's all about, "This is the podcast for meeting planners by meeting planners." But we can't do that today because my partner is AWOL. Where is she? I don't know. She knows we're recording today. I mean, I guess I can just riff for a while and then we can meet our guests, but
hey,
geez.
Hey, Daryl. Hey, I'm sorry. Hey.
No. Don't hey Daryl me. Where the heck were you? I had to do the intro all by myself, and you know how our listeners feel when it's just me talking.
I know, but I just also know how much you like to talk. No, I should be apologizing because I'm really sorry. My kickboxing class ran long, and I did haul my booty over here as fast as I could. So sorry.
Well, all right. I guess it's okay as long as you were exercising. I mean, we all need to move a little bit more than before, since much of our job is already sitting at our desks, and now we're overseeing virtual events, and we don't have the ability to walk the show floor the way we used to.
Yeah. Also, because for the small amount of exercise you'd get from a commute, it has actually turned into about 10 steps from my bedroom to my office here, which is basically my kitchen table. So
yeah, I was going to say, look, I even had the other day with all the ice and snow we had in the DC area, I actually had a 2-dog pile up at the bottom of the stairs that I had to maneuver around to get up to my office. So yeah. Listen, should we redo the opening?
Oh, no, I'm sure you did it just fine. And this way, the next time you're late, I can do it without you.
All right. Okay, I can live with that. Listen, you can have all the extra stress of doing it just by yourself.
Okay.
But, well, I'm a helper. But that brings me to the point of today's show. Listen, it's all about the pressures we face as planners and how we need to take the time out to think about our own health.
Oh, absolutely. Today, we're going to talk about our physical health. And then later, we're going to do a segment where we check in on our mental health as well. And I feel like in this virtual time, we need to have these discussions. Planners have been even more stressed than usual with all the extra work that goes into making virtual and hybrid meetings special. It's crazy.
Yeah. You know, I got to tell you, prepping for today's episode, I was doing some research. And what I found were several studies of the most stressful jobs, and many of them had meeting planning in the top 10. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, there was police and firefighters, but we were in front of, say, taxi drivers. But, you know, to be fair, that was from 2019.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have no problems with our career being listed among the most stressful, although I imagine that with the way things were this last year, you know, the next version of the list may change a bit.
Yeah, you know, I haven't seen the list for 2020 yet, but on the 19 list, I saw pharmacy tech was on the low stress jobs. And I'm going to say that, I make a projection anyway, that I guess in 2020 list and further on, that job's going to move its way up. I mean, I walked into CVS the other day, I see 5 pharmacy techs running around all the time, the phone's ringing off the hook, there's a line of the people through the drive-thru that's snaked all the way around the block and down the parking lot. Can't be that easy anymore.
No, I wouldn't think so. But I also feel like I'm always running around and have phones and email notifications all day. It's really, honestly, it's one of the reasons that I make a concerted effort to get out and exercise a couple of times a week.
Yeah, you know, I know you've been doing kickboxing. How do you like that?
Oh my God, it is the thing for me, which I think is the key, right? You have to find the thing that you really love. Like, I suck at those, like, Zumba classes or dance. First of all, do not put a mirror in front of me so that I can see how uncoordinated and ungraceful I look, and then ask me to do like dance moves. No. There are no, like, that's one of the things I used to love to dance at a nightclub back in the day where the lights were low and there were no mirrors. Okay. That was when I would dance. I don't do it for exercise, but funny you should say about kickboxing, because I've actually become a kickboxer instructor recently.
Wow.
Adding that to my resume. So yeah. But how about you? I know you like to run, and this is all this ice really not good with the running thing. So how's that working out for you?
Yeah, yeah. You know, I am a strong advocate of staying away from the treadmill, and I will go out if I have to. I went out yesterday for a trail run, and I almost killed myself slipping on the icy trails, but yeah, much like you with the mirror, fortunately no one was around to see how ungraceful I was. And I avoided a full-on face plant by bracing myself with my hand. So nice. That was good.
Well, see, Daryl, you were just going down for a push-up. See, you just need to reposition that, or a lunge. You were just doing an extra long lunge in the middle of your run. Just reposition it in the way you're thinking about it.
Fair enough.
So we have talked about exercise, but what are some of the other ways you keep your health moving in the right direction? You know, I have some control over what I do at home, but when I'm on site in a client event, that's not always the case.
Right. And, you know, I think that is, you know, we love the control. It's one of the things that we excel at as planners is
that's why we're planners. Let's face it. Big control freaks.
But when we go on site, as calm and cool as we appear on the surface, I know for me that I the only way to do that is to get out, and I will take a pre-dawn run, you know, 4 a.m. if I have to, so I can be back and showered and ready to go by 5:30, 6 o'clock on the show floor. But we also get our steps in during the day when we go back to our on-site meetings and we're walking the floor or we're walking from room to room. For me, my biggest challenge though is the food. So at home, you know, I can be very controlled, and that's something that we're going to talk to our guest today about. But at the show floor, you know, I need breakfast. I can't just survive on coffee alone. So I will go to the buffet that's out for our attendees before everybody comes down, and I'll grab a muffin or a bagel out of the back, because we don't want the plate to look messy. So we always grab it from the back and kind of push the remaining pieces together to make it look together. And, you know, again, lots of coffee, but from there it's either, you know, a little of everything that's served to attendees. You know, even though we try to keep our attendees healthy, there's still plenty of stuff on there we shouldn't be eating, whether it's, you know, fried foods or desserts or sweets. And then sometimes if I'm lucky, maybe I can get a granola bar or a protein bar, but then it's on to dinner. And sometimes that's not until very late, because I don't eat until all of my other attendees are taken care of and everybody's off the floor. And then I'm just grabbing something, you know, a piece of pizza or something, and heading back to my room with a beer. And it's not the way to go. But what about you? When you go on site, what does your personal health look like?
Well, it depends. I'll be honest. I'm an all or nothing kind of girl. So either I'm all on the program and I'm doing well, or I'm not. Now, when I'm on my game, I remind myself that just because I'm not at home, it's not a vacation. This is not like all bets are off, all rules are off, right? So I really try to avoid those cocktails and things, even if it's, you know, a happy hour, even if it's a reception. If I wouldn't be drinking at home on a Wednesday night, why am I drinking at my conference? The thought that it's stress relieving, it might be in that moment, but I know that if I'm going to be up extra late, if I'm going to be hungover in the morning, that was back in my 20s. I had some meetings that were a little rough first thing in the morning because I had too much run the night before. But
I know those very well.
Yeah.
Oh, I had a meeting that was over Cinco de Mayo. And let's just say,
Yeah. And that could be a whole episode. We could tell some of those stories, but no. So I try to remind myself that just because I'm, you know, at a conference, it's work. It's not a vacation for me. So that's not the time for me to be celebrating, blah, 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 blah. I do try sometimes to book an extra 1 or 2 days, maybe even have my husband come and join me at the end of a meeting, so I can enjoy the local, you know, flavor and get out and whatever, but not during my meetings. The other thing is I have really loved ordering things on Amazon, like protein drinks, right? The pre-made, like Premier Protein, whatever kind of protein drinks, and not the sugar filled protein, you know, bars that say protein on them, but they aren't really, they're really a candy bar in like a healthy package. But I'll order those up and I'll send a whole case to my room or to the office, you know, so that I'm not relying on what, you know, the muffins and everything else that we've ordered. So, you know, I order nuts, I order protein bars, so that I know I at least have that fuel for myself in between meals. And then I am not shy about asking my catering manager or whatever to bring me the same lunch that everybody else is having, but with whatever, you know, please leave this dressing on the side or whatever my healthy accommodations to try to, you know, be better on site.
Absolutely. I think the challenge, you know, I do some of the same things. For me, the challenge is with lunch or dinner is just eating it in a timely fashion. So, you know, a lot of times the catering managers are good, or your CSM will be good and they'll say, hey, let us know when you need it and we'll bring you out a plate. But yeah, it can be frustrating. I completely get that. But listen, let's take a quick break here. I want to break the stress of doing this podcast. So let's take a quick break here. And when we come back, we're going to bring on our guest and she can tell us about her wake up call and how to take care of her own personal health.
And we're back. Daryl, we took a good chunk of the discussion in the opening talking about our well-being, but today's guest also has a story worth listening to about how she understood that she needed to take a pause and tend to her own well-being.
That's right, and let's bring her on. Today, our special guest is Patty Stern, Chief Creative Officer of PS Creative Marketing and Event Concepts in New York. Welcome, Patty.
Hi, how are you?
We're great. We're so happy to have you joining us today, Patty. I read up on your background and love that you say that you are a, quote, magic maker. That's close enough to a miracle worker for me, you know. Tell us a little bit of your meeting industry background. Let's start there.
Okay. Well, I have actually been in the industry for 25 years. And I grew up in Dallas. I'm actually a native Texan.
Oh, I bet you're happy not there right now.
I know. My family's down there.
Oh, I hope they're okay.
I know. They're okay now. They're okay now. It was a tough week for everybody. Anyways, I grew up in Dallas. I went to SMU. I studied marketing and advertising. And I came into the meetings industry on the supplier side. My family had a big limousine company and it was a perfect way for me to cut my teeth in the industry because I learned how to work with high maintenance people and to serve. Anyways, I just fell in love with the industry. It was a great fit for me. And over a period of time on the supplier side, I really made an effort to learn as much as I could about the planner side. And during that period of time, became very skilled on the planner side. So I shifted over that way. I started my own company. It'll be 20 years in March that I started my firm. Congrats. And became a conference planner. And that's what I've been doing. So I've got clients all over the country. I'm very heavy on the marketing side, design side, production, planning, logistics, all of it. And awesome. Love it. So, yeah.
Awesome.
And of course, my health issues did change my work style a little bit, and we can get into that.
Well, that's perfect. That's actually perfect. I think actually we're going to have you on as a permanent guest host because you segue beautifully into the segment here.
Yeah.
I know we know that there you had a health scare. So why don't you bring us back to August of 2018 and tell us a little bit about what happened?
Okay, thanks. So August 2018, and actually I'm just going to preface just a little bit about July and bring me to August. I had Lyme disease that I didn't know I had, and I was extremely ill. And I was so sick, and I'm going to admit it, I was a smoker for a long time. And but I got so sick in July, I just quit cold turkey. It was easy to do. And anyways, I ended up in the hospital with the Lyme disease, went through that process with the antibiotics, went through, you know, got through all that, and came to August, and I was really excited about cleaning my lungs out, but I wasn't smoking anymore, and get back into exercising again. So I wanted to start swimming laps. And I noticed when I was swimming that I was feeling some burning in my chest. And I attributed that to having just quit smoking, and my body was like, "Whoa, Nellie, what are you doing here?" And just wrote it off. So
I have to I have to pause for a second, because sure. I felt burning in my chest last night, but I think it was just the hot sauce.
Yeah. So, and you know what? It could have been.
I wasn't swimming. It was just hot sauce.
We're going to talk about that later.
All right. Yeah, sorry to interrupt. Go ahead, Patty.
Well, because that same thing happened to me. And I'm not going to diagnose you because I'm not a doctor. Anyways. So this burning happened, and then it happened again. And so in early August, I really got scared because I had the burning in my chest and my arm was hurting. And, you know, we read a lot about heart attack and stroke. And so I drove myself over to the hospital, which you're not supposed to do. And they did a triage on me and said, "You're not having a heart attack." So I was very relieved. They did EKGs. The physician came in to the emergency room. He was the same one that treated me for the Lyme disease. So they wanted to keep me overnight. And I told them no, because I had just gotten out from the Lyme and I didn't want to go back in. I went to see a cardiologist the next day who ordered a stress test. So that week I went and had a stress test. And I couldn't make it all the way through. My chest started burning during that stress test. And they wanted to order a nuclear stress test, which I didn't know what that was. But I said, "Can it wait? Because I've been poked and prodded the last month and I just want a break, please." And the physician said, "It's not urgent. We can wait." So we had it scheduled for September. And I left. Went about my life in August, and now we come to mid-August, and the burning's coming and going. And I have friends telling me, "Daryl, oh, it must be heartburn or acid reflux." And I thought to myself, wait, okay, I'm in my 50s now, and I don't think I've ever had heartburn in my whole life. And I had a lot of hot sauce because I'm from Texas. And I've never had heartburn. I've never had acid reflux, but okay, you know, the cardiologist said my test came back clean. So I decided to self-diagnose and self-dose with something from over the counter. Then we come to towards the end of August, it was August 21st. I was getting a checkup with my endocrinologist because I'm an adult onset type 2 diabetic as well. And told him I had been having these issues with my heart, that I had added a cardiologist to the medical team. And I was 54. And I said, and he just whipped around and he said, "You can't mess with your heart." And I said, I understand. And I've added a cardiologist.
Right. Being the cardiologist. We're all good.
I'm doing everything right. So right. I go home. I make something for dinner that night that had some seasoning on it and started burning like you wouldn't believe. It was scary. It was scary that night. But because I'd had these weeks of coming and going, I still did not take myself to the hospital. Next day, wake up. I'm okay. I woke up. That was good.
Waking up is a positive. Yeah.
Always a positive. Always a positive.
My throat's burning. I push in to see an internist the next morning. And he says, "I think this is your heart. I don't think this is heartburn." And I said, "Well, fast track me in for the nuclear stress test." So I was in there the next morning, 8 o'clock. Take it. I'm feeling okay. Cardiologist comes in, says, "You had a heart attack 3 days ago." And I felt okay. I said, "What?" And I didn't believe her. So she walks out of the room, comes back in with the surgeon, and he says, you had a heart attack 3 days ago. You're completely blocked. You have to go right now to have surgery. And if you don't, you're going to die. And I, Daryl, you'll appreciate
Patty, that must have been so scary.
Well, yeah, I was pretty cool about it all. I said, we need to call my husband, first of all. He was on his way into the city. And so we got him, he turned around and came back. But I asked, I laughed at the surgeon because I said, I feel okay. And I said, you know, I thought when you have a heart attack, you grab your chest, you know, and you gasp. And
I think Fred Stanford taught a lot of us that Elizabeth, yeah, the big one, is coming.
Exactly.
And you fall down and somebody calls for help. And he said, that's the movie version. That's not what happened. For men, though, the likelihood of you grabbing your chest and keeling over is much higher than for women. Heart attacks in women are really deceitful. They're just they're different. And it's why heart disease in women is such a big topic, more so than with men. I don't know why that is, because I'm all into the woman stuff. So
we're going to come back to that. I have questions about that. But go ahead. Tell us what happened from there.
So from there, I 2 hours later, I was on the table having emergency surgery. And I had 2 stents put in my heart. And then I had to wait to find out if I had heart disease or heart failure. And I was fortunate. It's heart disease, which can be corrected. And I've worked very hard for that. So anyways, my lifestyle just changed overnight. And I had to learn how to eat different. I said adopt a whole new lifestyle, eat differently. And from a work perspective, I had to walk away from a lot of work because of stress. And we all know that meeting and event planning is one of the top stressful professions. And that's that's not going to change. And I think that so much of the stress is actually good stress. I mean, there's a lot of exciting, not right now, but as a rule, our industry it's great excitement. I just think that we are in the business of serving others at the heart of what we do.
Sure.
We serve others. And it's very hard for us to say no.
Absolutely.
And
especially a lot of us are women in the industry, and it's particularly hard for women to say no, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But before we go into the meeting industry side of this, because all about education, and I do think that you're right, it is different. The symptoms and the signs of, you know, heart issues are different for women than they are for men. So I know that you have educated yourself quite a bit about this subject and have become very active on the subject. So can you help us understand what the differences are? You know, what are the signs for women, or what are the differences between men and women and heart issues and et cetera?
I don't know how that I can go deeply into the differences between men and women, only because I've only been taking care of me. But for me, for women, and actually I think this would apply for men as well, just for living a healthier life and taking better care of your heart. So maybe you don't have a heart attack. And a lot of that has to do with lifestyle habits and eating habits and movement, exercise. So, you know, I had to learn how to eat again. I met with a nutritionist, and I got to tell you, week after my heart attack, when I went to go see the cardiologist for the follow-up, and my husband was with me, And during the course of that conversation, I said to my cardiologist, so let's talk about snacks. You know, I need some crunch in my life. Because what I knew was sodium is my enemy. And we have no idea, I mean, unless you really start looking at labels, how much sodium we ingest in a day. And around 2,000, 23 grams a day is healthy. And you can, use that up in one eating one thing. At any rate, my cardiologist thought it was nuts, but he hooked me up with a nutritionist and I went to see her and I sat down with her and she said, well, what do you want to work on today? And I said, I want to talk about snacks. That's all I cared about was, you know, I can't eat chips anymore. I can't eat Cheetos and Doritos or any of these things I love. So she pulled out a stack of bags and we spent an hour with her teaching me how to read labels, how to read fats and trans fats and sodium and carbohydrates. And that was the start of my journey on the nutrition side of, my husband was incredibly supportive. I think we spent 2 hours at the grocery store going up and down the aisles, reading every single label. And I had the most boring diet. And still today, I can't really tell you that my repertoire of meals that I prepare are just incredibly exotic because it's just not a part of my life anymore. And you discover there's a lot of things that you eat, when you stop eating them, you really don't miss them. But the sugars, the processed foods, fried foods, I haven't had a French fry in more than 2 years. And it just meal planning, paying attention to what you're eating.
I think that's perfect. And I want to touch on that. First of all, I will say about French fries in the pandemic, you're not missing anything because every French fry you get is now soggy and somewhat cold. Even if you just pick it up right out of the store and bring it back to your car, as I learned yesterday. But so at home, it's easier. You're going to the store. You are very much in control about what you're eating. Mm-hmm. One of the things we talked about in the open is the challenge a lot of, I think, planners face is when they go on the road, when they go mm-hmm. to a client show and, you know, you're there for 3 or 4 days in a hotel, you know, windowless ballrooms, and you've got to find some way to control your intake, if you even have ability to control it, because it may only be one thing there available for you, or it's, we all know that feeling of breakfast, and we just have to grab whatever's there because we know we need to power through to get to the afternoon. We need some sort of, fuel other than coffee. So how do you handle that?
Yeah, that has to change. And, you know, that has to change in our industry. We have to stop being an industry where, as planners, you know, we're the planners, we're on site for our conference and our event, and we have trained our brains to believe, I'm going to be running around, so, you know, I know I need to eat healthy, and I'll just grab something. Instead of us taking responsibility for ourselves. And I have to tell you, not only ourselves, but our bosses, our colleagues, or, you know, why not care about all of them and make it a precedent that if we have a call time for 6 a.m., I want you all to have time to eat a healthy, we're making the time for you to have a healthy breakfast. You don't need to chow down on some sort of a bar at 5 o'clock in the morning and drink down your coffee. Let's just do this right. Put more thought into our whole team staying healthy. And if we have to grab something, then put it in the schedule and figure out how can I take my 20-minute break and go in the show office and I've ordered healthy food for my staff. You know, I'm still gonna have some snacks in there. We can't deprive people. But the focus is more on fueling versus food. It's a different mindset. That was a great word you used, which is fuel, because that's actually what we're doing all day long is fueling our bodies. And if you have to have something, you know, I do try to keep a bar, some sort of a protein bar, something in my bag all the time, just in case. But it's a just in case. It's not an instead of.
Yeah. Patty, I think that that's a really important shift. You know, I think you're right. As meeting planners, we take care of our attendees so often, but thinking about our staffs, we don't always do. And, you know, having, even if it's having resources of menus from healthy places that are close by that, you know, we can order food and we're ordering, you know, from this salad place or this place that, you know, has some healthy options, and you're giving people the time for that in the schedule. There's an expectation that, hey, we're expecting you to behave and to perform at peak performance. So we're going to fuel your peak performance. It's so important. And just putting out a plate of sugary Danish or donuts or whatever as you know, this here, this is how I'm helping you fuel. That's not, we're not doing what's right.
Right. So put it in the budget.
Yeah. That's another.
Put it in your budget.
Yep. And, you know, frequently, depending on the size of the staff, you know, I will, for our, we'll have a meeting, our pre-day meeting at, over breakfast, but that way I know everybody's having a healthful breakfast because I've ordered a healthful breakfast and, you know, everybody's gathering. So yes, are we all up earlier than normal? Sure. But we're having our touch base. I know everybody's fueled and, you know, it's an important part of planning. And you're right. Put it in the schedule and put it in the budget.
Yeah. And you'll have to, one more thing before you move on. If you really think about the executives in your company and how often you think back, how often they did not join in on those meals that weren't the healthiest. Because they do put effort and time into staying healthy.
That's a very good point.
What is something you touched on earlier? I want to just, I'm not going to use the P word. I'm just going to change direction here. Something you mentioned earlier caught my ear. You talked about reducing your job stress.
Yes.
As a way to improve your personal well-being and health. Talk a little bit about that. What are some things that you did? And if you can give some advice to our audience, what are some things planners can do to reduce some of that stress, or at least just to break it up?
Well, for me, I had a really big client when all this went down, and there was a lot of stress involved. And I had a conversation with my cardiologist, and he said, if you can walk away, you need to, because you can't have that kind of stress in your life anymore. And my clients were extremely gracious about me leaving, and they were respectful and they understood. And it was we still stay in touch. And but it was a very valuable lesson for me to learn when I reflected on what I had been doing to myself professionally in working with all my clients and serving all of my clients. I really was working 7 days a week. That was very natural for me. And I think it's because I always went that extra mile for all of my clients, serving them, that when something came up where I needed to say, hey, I got to back off, they were okay with it because it was never a question of my performance. And Daryl, when you and I spoke initially, we actually talked about, and I know this isn't really answering your question, but we talked about the vulnerability that, and this may be a conversation for you to have with somebody else another day, the vulnerability of telling our colleagues, our executives, or our clients that we're not doing well from a health perspective. that it may be, how that may be perceived. They might lessen your workload. They might ease you out. And I think that's something else that we really need to address in our industry, because we have 3 and 4 generations working together in our industry, which is enough stress in itself. Ask me your question again. I apologize.
I think you hit on it. And one thing I want to touch on, we know the phrase mental health day. So many people use that and say, I need to take this as a mental health day. It's just a day. It means just a day to decompress and not think about work and just refresh. Yeah. I wonder what would happen if we asked for a physical health day off. So it's a day, say it's similar. We're unplugging from work entirely. We're leaving our, maybe not leaving our phones, but we're not checking emails and we're not checking texts, but we do something physically active for ourselves, go on a hike, go on a walk, go for a swim or to the beach, just something, a change of scenery, something to get us not thinking about work, but active and stretching our legs and getting our lungs filled with fresh air. The story I relate is when I go on site, I will get up at 3 or 4 in the morning if I have to go for run a few miles outside. Yeah. And people think I'm crazy because then I have to get up, shower, and go down and be on the floor by 5 or 5:30 in the morning for my show. But for me, that's my time to not only decompress mentally, but get focused mentally, but it's physically, it's my chance to exert myself and not worry about people around me. Certainly I don't want to run on the show floor. Right. And you know, we are always cool under pressure.
Yeah. Hold on. I want to pick up on that, Daryl, actually, because I've been doing a lot of reading recently, incredibly fascinating recent reading about the brain. My daughter has ADHD. I, unbelievably enough, have recently been diagnosed with ADHD, which was a shock to me. But once I look at it, I thought, oh yeah. And that's why my meeting planning job is the perfect fit for me, because it's a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and I can bounce around and that it makes perfect sense. Anywho, but I've done a lot of reading about the brain, and it is amazing the impacts that exercise has on your brain. And really, if we all wanted to be more focused, better thinkers, etc., we would start our meetings each morning with exercise. And I don't mean like a few little toe touches. We would do 45 minutes of raising your heart rate exercise, and we would all be so much more focused. There's a book called Spark, and it talks about this whole thing. It starts out, I mean, it then goes into a whole bunch of brain research and stuff, but it talks about school districts in Illinois, one in particular, that started to change their PE program from just team sports or, you know, whatever, to putting heart rate monitors on kids, and their activity level had to raise, and they did PE every day, and their scores went through the roof. So, you know, it is really, we think, of course, as fitness in terms of our physical bodies, our lungs, our heart, but I'm telling you, the brain effects of getting your physical exercise and decreasing stress are immense. And really, I could go into some really geeky science kind of nerdy stuff on you.
So here's my thought. And, you know, I want to talk about when we're on site, and none of us have been on site. We're going on a year.
I know.
We'll be back. Much. So,
but someday, Patty, we're going to get back to it someday.
We're going to get back to it.
And we could start fresh. So what should we be doing?
Well, here's what I liken it to. How many of us can think about all the times when, let's say we were down in the lobby at 6 o'clock before our program start for the day, and we're sitting in the lobby and we're having the breakfast buffet and we're just confirming a bunch of stuff for that day. And we see those people walking by us with their workout outfits on and a towel around their shoulder, and they're sweating and they're glistening, and And we kind of look at them, we're like, man, and we're like, maybe we're a little jealous. And so my mindset has switched to be the person in the gym instead of the person that's staring at the person that just finished in the gym.
I would agree. I think that's awesome. And I think to add to that, if you wanted to, you can be the person in the gym staring at the other person in the gym, as long as they don't see you.
Well, you know, it's funny because you referenced this before. You said about the CEOs or the high level execs, right, who are not eating the crappy breakfast because they take care of themselves, right? It is funny because when I do get myself out early before everybody else, who do I run into in the gym? Oh, it's those C-suite level people. Yeah. Those are the people that are in the gym because they have figured out that they need to do that to maintain that high level.
Yeah.
We need to think of ourselves as planners in that C-suite, in that high level, where we need to take care of ourselves at that level.
You're not impressing them. I mean, you're not impressing them by not taking care of yourself. We think we're impressing them because we're working so hard and the show was so great and everything was perfect. And I only got 4 hours of sleep last night. And they're not impressed. I promise you, they're not impressed. So on an individual basis, I think what's really important is to make dates. Put it on your calendar. It's on my calendar every day. I work out 5 days a week. And it's on my calendar and it's in my work week and it's right smack in the middle of my day. And I even know that about myself. Some people are exceptional early in the morning, some midday, some in the evening. You got to figure out your groove because the workout's going to be good no matter when you get it in. But it's just getting it in. You owe that to yourself. You have to advocate for yourself. And then it just becomes very natural and you start inspiring people and they can see the difference in you and they want to be like that. And we have the ability, you know, that's like such a win-win. Here I am taking care of me and people see it and they want to be that way too. And I'm like, okay, come along.
You know, I think it's so important right now because I think we are blurring the lines. All right. I know for myself, I'm working sometimes at 8 o'clock at night because now since we're working from home, there's no real the boundaries. We're losing so many boundaries. So if you don't, as you said, Patty, put it on your calendar. If you don't make it a priority, somebody else is going to make their issue a priority on your calendar. A client, your boss, your kids, somebody is going to say, you know, hey, I'm going to take that time. If you don't protect that time to make it important for yourself and therefore everybody else too.
Yeah. And I think it's okay. You know, if I'm in the middle of a project with a client and I just literally had, I'm pushing back from my desk. And I'm going down in my gym and I'm going to work out. And I just let the client know I'm going to be away from the office for an hour or two. That's all. And I'm always, you know, still very respectful with my clients that if we've got a deadline to meet, we're going to meet it. I'm not excusing anything. We can still get it all done, but it's more on our terms. And our clients are so much more gracious than we give them credit for, I think. And
you don't have to tell them you're exercising. Tell them you have an appointment because you do. You put it on your calendar. It's an appointment with yourself, but you are as important as everybody else is.
Right.
Absolutely.
So I think the biggest thing, going back to what you asked me 15 minutes ago, it's just knowing that it's okay to just slow down a bit, that I've learned when I get that email that has something stressful in it, don't answer it immediately. I've really had to train myself to do that. Don't respond, let it go. sometimes I just have to push away. And I literally say that to myself. I am pushing away. I'm just walking away. And that really removes stress. So it's, I think stress is contagious. It's when we have it, we pass it on to other people if we don't slow down.
I think that's a great way to wrap up. And Patty, I don't know if you probably didn't know, our previous episode was all about responding versus reaction versus responding. So I think your idea of just pausing for those stressful situations and taking that breath, whether it's 30 seconds or it's a few hours, is you know, whatever you need to break that stress. That's been awesome. Patty, I want to thank you so much for joining us
today.
Our guest has been Patty Stern, the Chief Creative Officer of PS Creative Marketing and Event Concepts in New York, all about taking care of our physical well-being. Patty, thank you so much. We are going to be back after this brief break.
Daryl, it's time for the Bright Box Bakery Read. Daryl.
Why?
It's time to tell folks about Bright Box Bakery, our new sponsor.
I'm sorry, I was just eating some of the chocolate espresso mini bundt cakes they sent us to try. Now, which ones did you take?
I'm totally a tan fan. For me, it's all about the caramels. They're soft and chewy and...
They're gone.
That was the last one. Well, I'll have to get some more and so will you. The good news is the Bright Box is delicious, gluten-free, and owned by a fellow meeting professional. How awesome is that?
Yeah, they work with planners to curate unique single-serve boxes of baked goods for virtual or live events. Individual boxes can be drop-shipped to personal addresses for your virtual meeting attendees, or your order of individual boxes can be shipped to a single location for in-person and drive-by event amenities or party favors. Order whatever you want. Just leave me some of those espresso ones.
Reach out to Joanne today to add fresh-baked, dietary-inclusive treat boxes as an amenity and count on smiles all around. They are online at brightboxbakery.com.
And if you don't have your Google machine handy, give them a call, 646-639-8740. It's gluten-free, but flavorful. See what I did there?
Yes, unfortunately, I do. But our listeners should still reach out to Joanne and find out what Bright Box can do for them. And we're back. We want to thank our new sponsor, Bright Box Bakery, and our awesome guest, Patty Stern. Patty will get a special gift from Bright Box Bakery for joining us today. Maybe she'll even share that with us. That would be awesome.
Well, it would be. I hope she doesn't share too much of it. And while I really enjoyed their cakes last time, between hunkering inside for the winter and avoiding people for the COVID, I put on a little weight. So even with the running and the exercise.
Yeah, well, do you know who I think would really enjoy the cakes from Bright Box Bakery?
Who's that?
Derek Johnson.
Oh, there it is. There it is. Listen, I love what Patty had to say about being proactive about your health. So let's be proactive and recap the takeaways from our discussion today.
Oh, yes, absolutely. So I loved her concept, right? Of be like the CEO, be in the gym. That's where you find your C-suite people because they know they need to take care of their health. So put it on your calendar, right? We don't need to tell our clients that our meeting is with ourselves to work out. Just put it on your calendar and make exercise a priority for yourself.
Absolutely. And listen, talk about taking responsibility for yourself. Take responsibility for yourself, your colleagues, others on site. Make sure to give some thought about what you and your team will be eating on site and budget for it. Don't grab whatever's left on the plates on the buffet. Take some time, put a fruit dish out, put some vegetables out, some healthy snacks, healthy drinks for you and your team away from the food for everybody else so that you can make sure that you're taking care of your own fuel intake and that it's the good stuff.
Absolutely. And advocate for your health. Never feel embarrassed about going to the emergency room multiple times if you don't feel right. Sometimes you have to find the right doctor, the right professional who will take the time and really dig in and understand what's going on with you. You know your body best.
Absolutely. And something else that Patty mentioned that I found interesting is proactively building your medical team. Yeah. So even if you don't have a heart condition, get referred for a cardiologist. It only costs usually a copay to have a conversation with them. Or if you need a pulmonologist or an endocrinologist or a GI doc, whatever you need.
Anologist, whatever ologist you need.
And I've actually, it's interesting, these past year or so, I've had to go see a couple different specialists for minor things, thankfully, that I didn't have in my doctor portfolio before. So this is a great time to go out and get the referrals now, have conversations with them. And look, honestly, hopefully you never have to talk to them. But when you do, you already know who they are and they know who you are.
Exactly. So as we wrap up, another reminder that members of the meeting and events community are still in need today, probably physically, but this way we're talking about financially. Absolutely. So if you need that help, reach out to the PCMA Foundation Relief Fund and the Meetings Industry Fund. If you need some help, we'll include the links, of course, down below. And if you can spare something, please reach out and donate.
Absolutely. And I love hearing myself talk. I know you love hearing yourself talk. But if you as you being Amanda, but if you as our audience have something to say or an idea to share for a future episode, go ahead and drop us a line. We're at miracleworkerspodcast@gmail.com. That's miracleworkerspodcast@gmail.com. Don't forget, we're also on the Twitter machine. That's at MW the podcast on your Twitter machine. Don't miss a single episode. Head over right now to anchor.fm, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcast style audio materials. Go ahead and click the subscribe button. If you're on Apple, rate us, review us, only positive.
Yeah.
But do it today.
All the stars. So I think that is everything for this week. Let's do our virtual high five sign off. And I think instead of a sanitizer bath, I just need a good old fashioned shower because I'm a little gross and sweaty. And maybe a cup of green tea. You know, that is very helpful. It has a lot of antioxidants in it.
I love it. I love it. All right. Thanks for a great episode, Amanda. I'm going to see you at the next one.
Thanks, everybody.